Now in our study today, we're going to examine the record of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, the man who became known as Paul the Apostle. Here now, as we turn to Acts chapter 9, there is set before us this record that sets forth the grace and the power of God. Let me read part of this chapter. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Then Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now here, as I have suggested to you, is a demonstration of the grace and power of God. The conversion of Saul of Tarsus must rank as one of the most outstanding events in world history during the past 2,000 years. It is remarkable how the mercy and grace of God reached this man. The chief persecutor of the church became the chief preacher of the gospel, and he became the great pioneer missionary in the enterprise of taking the message of the gospel to the Gentile nations. Remember, 'twas he himself who at a later date described himself as the chief of sinners. Now, a great number of people during the past years have said, as it were, "Do you think God could save such a great sinner as me?" You see, some people think that they have sunk so far down in sin that the grace of God cannot reach them. In plain words, they feel they've gone beyond redemption's point. My friend, here is the record of the Word of God that shows that the grace of God could reach a man like Saul of Tarsus, who declared himself that he was the chief of sinners. Now, if God could save the chief, he can save any member of the clan. I care not who you are. You ought to be interested in the record here of what the Bible says about the conversion of this man. Now let me state this, that Saul's conversion was a personal experience. It wasn't something he imagined. It wasn't just a figment of his own brain. It wasn't something that he dreamed about. It was an actual, factual, personal experience. Now, I know that some people have laid a great amount of value on what they call their experience. But then you've got to remember this, that when you're talking of an experience which is spiritual, it must fit in with what the Scriptures teach. If someone's experience does not fit in with the teaching of the Word of God, then you question the so-called experience. But if that experience fits in with the teaching of the Word of God, then you must accept it. Now, Saul's conversion was a personal experience. First of all, he could testify regarding the place of his conversion. Did you notice when I was reading here concerning this man, he was persecuting the church, and he was going into strange cities. He was going up to the great city of Damascus, a city perhaps that has been much in the news in recent years. Now verse 3 of chapter 9 says, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus." And so here was the place where his great conversion took place. It was here he was brought face to face, as it were, with the challenge of the risen Saviour. He could testify regarding the place of his conversion. I sometimes thought it would have been wonderful to have been able to have taken a walk with the great Apostle Paul, just to walk up towards Damascus. I'm quite sure that when he arrived at the place where he had this encounter with the living, risen Christ, he would have stopped. He would have said, "I was just here. It was right there at the roadside. It was there where I had my encounter with God." You know, my friend, there's a great number of us can take you to the place where we trusted Christ. A friend of mine on one occasion was visiting what had been his hometown. He hadn't been there for many years, having left the area, but now he had come back on a visit. He went down the street where he used to live. He saw the door of the house. He knocked the door and a lady came to answer. He says, "Excuse me, ma'am." He said, "I used to live in this house. Do you mind if I come in and have a look at it once more?" She welcomed him in. He stood in the room And right there was a chair where once his father's chair had sat, right at the old fireside. He said, "You know, ma'am, it was right down there where that chair is, right on that spot where I was saved just so many years ago." She looked at him. Whether she understood his language or not, I don't know. He says, "Ma'am, it was right down there that I kneeled and trusted Christ as my Savior. Do you mind if I kneel down there again and give God thanks?" She says, "Do you like, sir?" So he kneeled down once more at that place, right at the chair. Not the same chair, of course, but lying in the same place. And down he went on his knees and thanked the Lord for having saved him there just so many years before it. You see, he knew the place. He knew where he was when he trusted the Lord. Now, a lot of people get annoyed today when we make this truth known. But my friend, be honest about it. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, you must have been somewhere when you trusted Christ. Now, where were you? Some people, of course, get saved when they're in some chapel hall or building, in a church building. And it may be it's while they're attending some special services or an ordinary service. Other people have been saved in their own homes, and some have been saved standing on the street. It's not the first time I've seen men down on their knees on an open city street trusting Christ. I have known them who have trusted Christ standing at the street corner. I have known others who have trusted Christ while flying in the air in an airplane. Some have been saved while in a train. I'm not concerned, my friend, as to how you were, but I must say this. When you were saved, you must have been somewhere. Now, where were you? Paul said it was near Damascus. Another thing we could notice here is this. Verse 3 says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." Now later on, when he tells this story, he said it was about midday, and this light from heaven was above the brightness of that noonday sun. So Paul not only knew where he was, he could tell, as it were, the place of his conversion. He could tell the time of his conversion. It was at midday. Perhaps some of you are saying, "Well, I'm not sure where I was, and I'm not sure what time of day it was." Well, I'll ask you a third question. Could you relate the manner of your conversion? Tell me how you were saved. And you see, Paul could relate the manner of his conversion. So many people today who want to be accepted as Christians have never had an experience of conversion. I've heard some people say, "Oh, I just grew up into it." No, my friend, you don't just grow up into it. Look, take the natural illustration. You just cannot grow up into life. It's only the child that has been born that begins to grow and develop into maturity. It's the same in the spiritual life. You do not just grow up into Christianity. You first of all start with the new birth, and then you grow. What I'm asking today is, when were you born again? When were you converted, and how were you converted? Now watch. First of all, he was challenged by the word of God. As he journeyed, he was near Damascus, about midday. The light shone round about him. He fell to the earth and watched, and he heard a voice. The voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And so on. First of all, then, he was challenged by the word of the Lord. Now, you should not expect God to come into your room with a great light. That's not the idea. If you expect God to speak to you in a dream or to give you a vision of the night, you're looking for the wrong thing. Now look, Saul of Tarsus was challenged by the word of the Lord. And you, my friend, today are also challenged. And God's challenge to us comes by His word. Remember this, the Bible has been completed. Listen to this expression. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now you cannot be saved. You will never be converted apart from faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, Saul of Tarsus that day heard the word of the Lord. His ears were open to hear, and what he heard was the word of the Lord. Now God has written sufficient in the book that we call the Bible in order to challenge our hearts. Now then, he was challenged by the word of the Lord. The second thing is this, he confessed that Jesus was Lord. When he heard the voice, here's what he said. Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? And the answer comes back, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now notice, he's got to learn this great truth, that the man whose name was called Jesus of Nazareth, he who had been put to death on the center cross, on the hill called Calvary, the man that was despised by his own and said it not, he was the Lord. You know, it's not everybody who's prepared to acknowledge this. I have seen men spit on the ground and shake their fist in my face when I declared that Jesus Christ was Lord. They didn't like it. They wouldn't admit it. They thought he was an impostor. And when we told them that there was no salvation in any other but in him, again they would spit. They would have spat in my face if they had dared. The thing is this, my friend, there's a lot of people today who will not admit or confess that the man who was called Jesus of Nazareth was the Lord of heaven. Now look, he says, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now you might have said, but Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus, he was persecuting those Christians. Perfectly true. For the Lord in effect is saying, what you do to them, you're doing to me. So therefore, Saul, you are persecuting me. Then he adds something else. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. You see, he was a man who was an educated man. He was a Pharisee. He understood the Old Testament. I've often thought that perhaps he was at Calvary. He may have seen the Lord Jesus put to death there. At least if he wasn't there then, he very soon was the leader of the persecution of the Christians. Oh, he led in this persecution, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against them. He was a man who was prepared to put Christians in jail and put some of them to death. The Lord said, in doing that, Saul, you're persecuting me. As you have done it unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So he was persecuting the Lord. And then he said, trembling and stunned, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, my friend, that's a very hard and difficult thing for some people to do. You see, here there's a complete change of mind. The Spirit of God has done His work in bringing conviction to this man. He's now ready to listen to the voice that would speak from heaven, the voice of the risen, living Savior. And he's ready to confess Him as Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then the Lord spoke to him, says, Arise and go into the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. And right away we discover this, that he was obedient to the word. Now take those three things and add them together. Saul's conversion was a personal, practical, factual experience. He knew where he was when he had this encounter with Jesus Christ. He knew the time of day when he was brought face to face with this great eternal challenge. He could relate the manner of his conversion. He was challenged by the word of the Lord. He confessed that Jesus was the Lord. Then he was obedient to the command of the Lord. I ask you, my friend, have you ever been challenged by what is written in the Word of God? If so, how do you react? Some people, you know, when they're challenged by the statements of the Word of God, they react with rebellion because it cuts across their preconceived ideas and they rebel against what the Bible says. They think it's only the word of the preacher. No, my friend, examine it from the Scriptures. He confessed that Jesus was Lord. Are you prepared to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? He was obedient to the command of the Lord. Have you been willing to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now, not only was Saul's conversion a personal, factual experience, Saul's conversion had a very practical expression. There was a complete change in his life. Now, as you read down through here, and then you think of God's message to this man called Ananias, and he tells Ananias what to do at first. The man says, now, we have heard about this man, and we've heard of the awful things he's been doing. And the word of the Lord comes to him and he says, now go, for behold, he prayeth. Here was the first practical expression in his life that there had been a change. Behold, he prayeth. This was a new experience for Saul. Now remember, being a Pharisee, he would be able to recite prayers. But now there's a difference between reciting Pharisaical prayers and praying. A man may be able to take a book and recite a prayer or read a prayer. Ah, but when you pray, that's different. Behold, he prayeth. Here's a man now on speaking terms with God. There's been a reconciliation. Behold, he prayeth. The second thing we read about this man, that is that he arose and was baptized. Here again, an indication of his obedience to the teaching he received. He was obedient to the word or the command of the Lord. He arose and was baptized. The next thing is this. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, that is, with the believers, with the Christians, which were at Damascus. That is, he fellowshipped with other believers. Now remember this. Here was the man that left Jerusalem to come to Damascus to persecute them and to put them in jail. Now something has taken place. He's now meeting in fellowship with Christians, the very people he wanted to persecute. He's meeting with them now. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now he testified that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. You see the change that had taken place in this man's life. Let me say, my friend, where there is a true conversion, there will be a very practical expression of the change that has taken place. Saul's conversion, again, I say to you, was one of the most outstanding events in world history. It changed the course of history. This is the man who God used to write about 14 books of the New Testament.